And in saving me and you, He brought us into a very wealthy place, a very wonderful place. He brought me in and you in to fellowship with Him and with His Son and His Holy Ghost. He brought us into fellowship one with another. And He gave us a common love and an appreciation for one another. And I want to declare that tonight, that I love God's people. I love the saints. And they are my people. This is a time of year when families get together, and I like that and I enjoy that. But as we become part of God's family, we also have a deep appreciation for that. And when we are around our earthly family, our love is great. There's that sense of it's different now. Something's not the same as it once was. Maybe I can say that more than some, in the sense that I still have all of my family on my side of the family still somewhere else. So, many of my first wife's family, they're somewhere else now. Just something beautiful about the family of God. Something real rich. If you will bear with me, I would like to touch on some more subjects concerning God declaring Himself. God certifying Himself. God making Himself known. God celebrating. God inscribing to mankind His very existence. This morning we read that the prerequisite to faith is that we must believe that God is, that He actually exists. And as foreign as that may sound to you and to me, it's not a real foreign question in the world today. And it's not something that we are immune from Satan trying to present it to our mind. We're in the world, and the possibilities to hear statements of there is no God, or there's a multitude of gods, and gods can be whatever you want them to be, and the attributes of gods can vary, and etc. So the first thing we must do is believe that God is. And how could we have believed, how could we have known, if God had not have taken great, thoughtful steps to reveal Himself to us? He revealed Himself to us in such a way that undeniably, to the rational mind really, if we consider it and think about it, there's something outside of circumstance and the law of physics that caused everything there is to be. There's something greater than human design and human abilities that holds it all together. And if we start to look around us, we read this morning that the heavens declare the glory of God. Then we also spoke this morning about that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. How that of all of creation, humanity is unique. Humanity has been singled out to receive a consciousness of God, an awareness of a greater authority than just the elements and just the physical needs and physical strengths and wisdom. God has singled out you and me to cause us to know, if we're honest with ourselves, there's something more to this thing than just a chain of evolution, and some way or another we jumped eons and eons ahead on the ladder and became this special, special product of evolution and left everything else far behind. We know that's absurd, because if evolution is so, there's a progress, and you will find some things in there that would connect us to the next lower form. But there is no connection, because God breathed into man, and man became a living spirit. And man became in contact with God through that spirit, and he still is. So we talked some this morning about the fact that man has a conscience, declares there's a God, that there is the King. There is someone, some great power, we call Him God, that we are aware of Him even when we did not even know His name. And there was the sense of being in favor or the sense of being in disfavor. That our actions approved us or reproved us before this awareness that we had. Thank God for that. And if we will be careful to think of those things, they tell us there's something, there's someone, there is a God. And we need to understand that even though we all believe that there is a God. We need to understand that God is definitely not hiding in a corner somewhere, but He is definitely declaring Himself. If we will, if when I say we, I mean mankind, would open their eyes and look, and not look through skepticism or through unbelief or through sin. You take a lot of things that come down to the bottom of denying there is a God is based on a selfish interest. I want to do what I want to do. And I do not want to be told. I do not want to be informed of anything. I don't want my conscience made aware that I'm wrong. So therefore, if I can deny and will not believe there is one that I am answerable to, and there is a Creator, and there is a first cause for everything, then I'm not accountable. I can live the way I want to. All I've got to worry about is that the sheriff doesn't get me because I can do what I want to do, morally speaking. Because that's the only authority, the civil authorities is what I'm subject to. But man has a conscience. And that conscience is a very wonderful thing, and it makes us very unique. Again, the definitions is to make clear, this word declare, is to make something clear, to free from obscurity, to make it plain, to make known, to tell explicitly, to manifest or communicate plainly. That was Webster's definitions. In the Greek, it can mean to certify, make known, to declare, to give understanding. We want to touch a little on that tonight. How God has made us able, through His Spirit we'll talk about maybe, made us able to understand. Because who knows the things of another man? Who knows the mind of another man? We needed the input to help us to realize and to give us understanding of God. We would have patterned God after golden calf. We could have patterned God after a statue of some kind out of wood or clay. We could have described that God looks like a goat. They do that in places. In Egypt, they buried cats with dead people because cats were holy. In India today, the bovine species is able to walk the streets with impunity and never bothered because they're, in a sense, gods. They are ancestors. We could, without understanding, what does God look like? So God, or when I say look like, literally maybe, but also what is He? What is His true identity? So these are just some thoughts. And then in the Hebrew, this word is defined as the heavens declare. It means to score or keep score, if you will, to keep a tally and a mark with marks on a wall or a sheet of paper, to inscribe, to enumerate, to recount, to celebrate, and to commune. I'd like to go to the next thought that the Lord seemed to impress on me. The story is over in Luke, the 2nd chapter, in the 8th verse. Luke 2:8. And I'm thinking about the word celebrate. A declaration. A proclamation. A great celebration to announce something. And God Himself declaring to mankind His love for us and His existence. In Luke 2 and 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." In Hebrews, it tells us that God has made His angels ministering servants. And angels come not of their own accord. And they do not have a will in the sense that you and me might think of a will. Hence, we do not believe in fallen angels, as many people teach. Angels are ambassadors. They are endued with power and authority from God. And they come with a royal message and a holy message and warnings. They come with power to destroy and with power to heal. They come with great authority, but they are ambassadors or ministering servants sent from God. So when an angel speaks, he does not speak of himself or the angel himself. The angel does not speak to declare what they may think, but they are expressing the will of God. "And the angel said unto them," to the people, to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people." Here is the proclamation and the beginning of a heavenly celebration, an earthly celebration, a celebration out in the fields, and a celebration of the glory of God declaring to us that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him, and that He has good news, something wonderful to declare to us. To me, this is evident that there's a God. This is something, if we believe the Bible was an eyewitness account. I don't know who the shepherds were. I don't know that we have a name recorded in history. I don't know what relationships they were to whoever else, but the story, the accounting, was handed down, and Luke, as he recounted what had happened that night many years ago, this is part of an eyewitness account. And this is what it said. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, here's the celebration. Here's God declaring Himself. Here's God saying, "I love you 1,000 times over." Here's God saying, "I love you with all the love the divine can have." Here's God saying, "I'm sending hope into the world. I'm letting you know that my Son has come, the Lamb, to take away the sins of the world. I'm declaring to you that I love you, I care about you, I want something better for you." And suddenly there was with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." This was a direct message from God. This was not angels speaking of themselves or for themselves. They never, as far as I understand, take the liberty to interject what they think. But they speak as God commands. And here's the proclamation. As it said of Jesus, that His name would be Emmanuel, which is God among us. So I submit to us tonight that part of the declaration of God that He exists is Jesus Christ. The Word spoken, the Word in its truest, purest form, became flesh and dwelt among us. He exposed himself in a way that visible eyes could see the express image of himself. He exposed and declared himself to us, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And the words he said, "I speak unto you," Jesus did, "they're not mine, but the Father which gave them to me." If we will hear the Son, if we will examine the Son, if we will reach out and embrace the Son, we are responding to the declaration of God that He is. And as He touches our life, God touches our life. As He blesses our soul, God blesses our soul. As the message of salvation reaches out and breaks up the hardened heart of sin, it is God who comes in His glory and floods this earthen tabernacle. It is God's responding to us through Jesus Christ. Tonight, glory to God in the highest. Can you imagine the scene? We've all been to hear choir sing, professional or highly trained choirs. And there are parts that I can only marvel at how wonderful it is. Crescendos, and I don't know all the different words for emphasizing music. Things that take place that maybe there's a drum roll in a sense of to bring out the crescendo. But it sometimes you'll hear something and it'll just make your spine tingle. It'll cause something to happen in you and you can actually feel the music within you. Trained voices, practiced voices singing together in harmony, in unity, with one voice. Can you imagine what it would have been like to hear the angels? I don't know if they sang some more. I don't know what all they said. Maybe this was all. It was enough. But I wonder what the shepherds thought. Was their fear sated by then? Had they realized, oh, this is the heavenly host and we're not going to die, but we're hearing God express to us Himself, His love, declaring Himself to us. We have proof that God exists. We must believe. God has a rest for us. If we choose not to believe in God, when I say we, people, we miss that rest. We miss the provisions of His existence. If we choose not to believe, then we have, as we've already said, our resources to choose from. And what a conglomeration of resources. I'd like to go now to Hebrews 1 and 1. I enjoy Hebrews. It's a very enlightening, it's a good teaching book. 1 and 1 of Hebrews. God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. So the Lord has declared Himself through Jesus Christ. Historically, Jesus is mentioned. There's just not volumes and volumes written, but He is historically noted in history. In the secular world. Obviously He's passed over. Obviously He's discounted. Many times there's a little innuendos that people said and He said and those kind of things. But Jesus was. And He did walk this earth. And men saw Him and men touched Him and men saw His life and His words and they heard that. They saw His miracles. They saw what He did. They heard His teachings. They saw His prophecies fulfilled. They saw His compassion and His mercy. They saw Him being tried and they saw Him being tormented. They saw Him being crucified. They were part of those, some wrapped Him in the grave clothes, and there really was a man who gave his his tomb for a burial place. Joseph, wasn't it? There really was these things that happened, and they were recorded for you and me. Not incidentally, not by happen chance. I want to tell you something. Of all the books that have ever been written, nothing has been preserved like the Word of God. Nothing has been preserved in such a way that it still reveals without change the very mind and the person and the presence of God. It has not been altered. It has not been... let me say this. There must be some validity to it when you count all the people that's against it. When you count the devils against it, when you count secularism is against it, when you count that movements and governments and atheistic forms and people have tried all down through the annals of the written Bible to suppress it and keep it out of the hands of the people. Why? Because it's God speaking to us. He has declared it so. He has made it so. Men of old spoke, men of old recorded, that you and I might believe the report. He said, now he has spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now, I'm not going to go too deep in that except to say that God, the Word, God the Father, God the Spirit was present at creation. And His Word spoke into existence all that we saw, see. And this Word, or this Son, who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the Word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And it said in the third verse, Jesus Christ was the brightness of God's glory. So you see, God has declared Himself through His Son, through the life, and through the words, through the ministry, through the death, and through the resurrection. By the fulfillment and all that He is, God saying, this is me. You need tangible proof? Look at my Son. You need convincing in a way that you can see the glory, my glory? Look on my Son. If you need to see my power, look at the withered arm extended. Look at the blind eye opened. You want to see the power of God? See the forgiveness of sin that Jesus had. You want to see me? Look on my Son. Observe Him. He will declare me to you. He will be a witness that I am. And to those who believed, to those who believe today, God grants unto us the right to be His children. Every one of us today, if we believe this. But we must believe. So God has declared Himself through Jesus Christ. Over in, and it also said here that He is the expressed image of the person, of His person. He is the, and I know it's not speaking of a literal image, but His Spirit, His character, Him Himself, was God expressing Himself. This is me. I am. I exist. And I love you. I care about your welfare. I'm going to build a church. In Psalms 22 and 22, I guess it is, it's a prophecy concerning Christ. He said, I will declare thy name. And in the midst of the congregation, He would speak. Jesus Christ came for the purpose of declaring the righteousness of God, the person of God, that we might know Him, the power of His salvation and of His love, that we might have a mediator to connect us with Him, that we might have a Lamb that would take away our sin, that there would be one holy enough, pure enough, innocent enough, that His blood would atone for the sins of the whole world. Jesus Christ is the expression of God to mankind. Jesus is the declaration of God. Jesus is the very declaration of the glory and the passion and the compassion of God. Over in 2 Corinthians 5 and 19, it said, to this wit, God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world to Himself. So the Lord was in Christ. These are some redundancies here, I know. But it's important to us to understand tonight, and there's many other scriptures, that tells us that God was expressing and showing Himself through the Word made flesh. And He wants us to believe that. Something very impressive happened on what we call now the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah and Jesus appeared there. And some of the disciples, Peter, John maybe, James was there. And no doubt, if you would have been there, me, if I'd have been there, we would have been awed also. To say it lightly. To see these great spiritual men, along with Christ, transfigured. And they were so awed and so overcome with joy and seriousness in the mind, they said, it's good, it's right, let's build a tabernacle to honor this, and let's build three tabernacles. I believe then something happened. They were astounded for a season, and they were not able to maybe communicate. And maybe there was a flash, perhaps, and maybe there was a smoke, or maybe there was something that totally obscured what was going on, and when it all cleared away, there stood one there. And it wasn't Moses, and it wasn't Elijah, but it was Jesus Christ. And He said, "Hear ye Him." That message is still going out today. "Hear ye Him." I'd like to go over into John, the 14th chapter. And the 8th through the 11th verse. Philip said unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." People always want proof, aren't they? And I don't fault these disciples at all. But they're typical of us. They are a cross-section of people in that way. They had passions and feelings, and some required more proof than others. Some were more gentler. Some was more impatient. Some was more stern in their convictions. They were a cross-section of people. And Philip said, "Would you just show us the Father, and it will really calm us and quieten us. It'll really just be a blessing." Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip?" Not known me, Philip? Here I've been with you, and here I've been among you, and the things I've done, no man could do, Philip. Has my identity escaped you? "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" Tonight, I would like to let God ask us and myself this question. Have we heard about Jesus? And have we seen His workings? And we still don't know the Father? Oh, Lord, help us as His people to look on the life of Jesus Christ and see the Father. Walk hand in hand with the Lord. Share His ministry. Share His sacrifice. Share in His Word and walk in obedience. Examine ourselves to see how closely are we walking. Because as we walk with Jesus, we're walking with the Father. As we obey Jesus, we are obeying the Father. And He said to us and them, "Have I been so long among you, around you, walking with you, and you still ask me, you don't know me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. Again, we're speaking tonight about we must believe that he is. He exists. And we want to recognize how the Lord, and I know there's other things you're thinking of, no doubt, where God has declared himself. It's me, he said. Look and behold me. And he said tonight that the works that he did, Christ did, the things that I speak to you, they're not of myself, but they are of the Father. And he doeth the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the work's sake. You think about the mighty works of God. The works that Jesus did was a declaration of the presence of God. Never a man spake like this. One said, we've never seen it on this wise before. They came to, they were ready to kill him, and he walked through the crowd. They were trying to cause him to trip up on the articles of the law. And they were left dumbfounded at his answers, and they weren't able to rebuke him or come back at him. He healed. He did things that no other man was able or capable of doing. He cast out devils and healed the blind. He went about doing good and forgiving. And when it came time to offer himself, he said, not my will, but thine be done. Submissive to the Father in everything. I'm thankful tonight that Jesus Christ is an example or an expression of God the Father to you and to me. In John 3, still along this thought about Christ being a declaration of God, over in 3 and 2 of St. John, we'll read the first verse too. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. So he acknowledged that. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. I don't know what all Nicodemus had seen concerning the work of the Lord. Probably it was a rather lean time. But at the same time, Nicodemus was a learned man in the scriptures and in the histories of the judges and the prophets and the law. And he knew of the miracles in the past. And he said to Jesus, no man can do these things unless God be with him. Lord, help us tonight to see Jesus Christ as God expressing himself, declaring himself unto every one of us. Over in Romans, you remember we read or quoted that the Lord breathed into man the breath of life and man became a living soul, living spirit. More than just flesh and blood, but an identity that separates us from everything else. And that spirit that God put in man communes with God, and God communes with it. Hence our conscience. Hence the knowledge that there's something greater. Over in Romans 8 and 16, I want to use a scripture here concerning God identifying with mankind and exposing or expressing himself. 8 and 16. The Spirit of God, the Spirit that we can receive, Spirit of adoption, but it's the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, if you will, itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. one of the means by which God declares Himself, expresses Himself, and communicates Himself is by His Spirit. His Spirit is unstoppable if God wants to speak to us. Now, we may not have ears to hear. We may turn deaf ears. And we may deny it. But I am convinced when God wants to speak to you and me, He's going to do it. And He does it by His Spirit. When I was a sinner, God's Spirit spoke to me and I was running from God. But God spoke to me. He convicted me. He showed me what was going to happen in the error of my ways. And I didn't want Him doing it. I know that sounds terrible. I'm saying to us tonight that God expresses His existence to us by His Spirit. That His Spirit bears witness to us and talks to us and communes with us and expresses His Word to us. Over in Romans 1 and 4. Romans 1 and 4. Speaking of Jesus, I think, here. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Here it mentions the Spirit of God, the Spirit of holiness. And it also mentions the resurrection from the dead. Did you know there's a lot of effort in this world? You don't hear of it a lot, but occasionally you do, to disprove the resurrection. It was important that the Jews who had their watch cover it up. There's power that declares the power of God in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God came down to that tomb, and I don't know how large the stone was. I believe it was probably enough. It took two or three men, perhaps, to roll. And in the light and the brilliance of the holiness of God, the Spirit of God opened that tomb. The Spirit of the Lord, and here I'll get into an area that the Bible just doesn't tell us a lot about. The Spirit of the Lord was in that tomb, and the deadness of the flesh of the body of Jesus came back to life. And He came back in the power of the Almighty God, and He became the first begotten of the resurrection, declaring to us that we sorrow not as others who sorrow. Jesus will come back, and He will receive His church back to Himself. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that remain will be caught up to meet them in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's God speaking to us. The declaration of an empty tomb speaks to us and declares there is a God. The Spirit of God bears witness to us all along the pathway of life. May we today receive it. May we believe it. May we take the report as given to us from the Word of God and say, it's true, it's true, it's true. I have found it so. Let the gainsayers gainsay. Scoffers are going to scoff. The atheists are going to be atheists. The agnostics are going to question everything that's said by every side. Governments are going to try to legislate God out of existence, out of the schools, out of everything. They're going to try to take the very morality of God to the degree they can, out of the laws of the land. But God exists, folks, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Paul said, none of these things move me. I know in whom I have believed. I'm confident in that. God wants you and me to see Him. He wants you and me to know Him. I want to go on another thought on the Spirit is in the 1 Corinthians letter 2 and 9. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I always read this and I think, well, that's heaven. But now you go a little bit further down. No, that's now. So I have concluded it's both. God's got a lot of things prepared for his people. And eye hasn't seen it. Ear hasn't heard it. The thoughts and the understanding of man and our heart and our mind, we cannot describe it. We cannot even formulate words to say it. But God hath revealed them, the intent and the purpose of God. God himself, he has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit does what? Searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You know, and I say this to myself more than anyone else, we have no excuse to be shallow in God. It's a river to swim in today. It is not a river to go wading in. And we have no excuse to say, well, I just don't understand that. If we don't understand it, chances are it's our ignorance that we're guarding and protecting. God has revealed himself to us and by his Spirit, yea, the very deep, personal, if you will, precious things. Not just thou shalt not kill. That was long ago. It's still truth. But God talks then about if we hate our brother, we're a murderer. And he goes on. Many things, but he brings out depths. I believe today the world suffers from self-inflicted ignorance. They don't want to know. Because knowledge brings responsibility. And it's the same way with you and me. Knowledge of God brings responsibility. But may we understand, was it John who said in one of the letters, or maybe it was John, and his commandments are not grievous? It's the flesh that rebels. But if we allow the Lord to reveal himself to us in his glory, his beauty, by his Spirit, we'll find, no, they're commandments for life, for happiness, for peace and holiness. But God hath revealed them to us, unto us, by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep, deep, deep things of God. That is so, oh dear ones, tonight, I'm ashamed of myself that I don't know more. Because it's there. It's there. God has revealed himself. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man. Now we could put a period there, and it would be correct. But they put a comma and said, but the Spirit of God, or by the Spirit of God, or only through the Spirit of God, makes Paul's question to the Ephesians that we heard about in Sunday school this morning. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Makes the admonition, let us go on to perfection. Makes it more real. Jesus breathing on them and saying, receive ye the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Jesus commanded his disciples, don't go anywhere. Tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. The Spirit that leads us, guides us, and teaches us. The Spirit that opens up our understanding. There's different accounts in the Bible, especially in Acts, where after the resurrection of Christ, phrases like, then they understood, then they remembered the words, their eyes were holden and then their eyes were opened. And they understood what Christ, who He was then, not just what He had done. May the Lord help us tonight, the Spirit of God. Don't run from Him. Don't think Him a crucifier or a hard taskmaster. He's God, the Spirit of God, the very nature of God. And we ought to embrace Him because He declares the Father. He declares the God of heaven to us. And it's impossible for us to, we can have a head knowledge and a Bible story knowledge of God. And I don't want to discount that, but God wants us to know the deep things, the deep, holy things of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, that we might know it. The power of His resurrection, that we might know the things that are freely lavished. You know, that song, Broken and Spilled Out, and it mentions the word lavished on me. God lavished us with Himself. Just poured Himself out on us. And He poured out the Holy Spirit. Peter was preaching and the Holy Spirit fell on him. I'm going to tell you something. If I was up here preaching to y'all and a couple of tiles fell out of that and fell on me, I'd know it. It wasn't just like, may I come in? No, the Holy Spirit, whoosh! The Holy Spirit came in like a rushing mighty wind. He had something to say. He had something to do. He was going to declare the Father. He was going to, it was a celebration of God. And the Holy Spirit didn't just tiptoe in and, may I please? They were there playing, please, whatever the promise of the Father is, whatever that Joel prophesied about, whatever this is, we want it. I don't imagine but they were there in obedience. Lord, help us tonight not to tiptoe around the Holy Ghost, not to turn a back on the Holy Ghost. You want to know God? You want to be assured of God? Get God in you. You know, somebody said a little song, I don't know if I can remember it all, the words are exactly right or not. If God is dead, who's this living in my heart? And God wants to be that personal, to reveal Himself. He said in another place, through the face of Jesus Christ. Christ said He would send the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost wouldn't speak of Jesus, He would speak of the Father. It wouldn't speak of Himself, rather, but the things that He heard, He would convey to us. He is not one, again, to say, I'm the Holy Ghost, worship me, although He's worshipful. Sure He is, He's God. But He's telling us about the deep things of God, declaring God to you, to me. John 1 and 1 John, rather. As we think about this little illustration of this scripture. 1 John 3 and 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. God wants to give us of himself. Many ways, many manners. Weeping prophets, authoritative prophets, lawgivers, men that were shepherds, men from various walks of life, men that wrote volumes, men that wrote just a few books, a few letters, rather, a few sentences, really. God spoke dramatically with prophecies that's hard to understand sometimes through Daniel, Isaiah, different ways. God spoke through the lawgiver Moses. God spoke through men of all different times and places. Spoke to us through His Son. Now He's speaking to us with His Word and His Spirit. declaring himself. See, that's what God's doing. Up on the Mount Sinai, God declared himself rather vividly there. Brother Moses came back down, and they couldn't look on him. Put a veil over your face, Moses. We can't. God wants us to see his glory with an open face. God wants us to behold his glory. God wants us to be touched and filled with his glory. The veil is now, Paul's writings, is taken away. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, then there's liberty. That we can behold and know the glory of God. And do you leave one out? No. Do we put more emphasis on the Holy Ghost than Jesus? No. Do we put more emphasis on Jesus than the Holy Ghost? I want to be careful here, but no. Jesus ministered, and his ministry was anointed by the Holy Ghost. So we don't single one out as being more important than the other. They are all one. They are God. Wanting and desiring to declare himself to you and to me. And to those that of us believes, he said, I'll give you power to become the sons of God. Then Romans said, and if sons, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and another, in Hebrews, that we can cry out, Romans said, Abba, Father, that we can with open faceness see God and behold him. And that's what he wants for us. And when you and I disbelieve any part of the story, when you and I withstand any part of the declaration, when you and me become skeptical, or when you and me defend fleshly areas in our life, we put a shade, a veil, we put a shadow, we put a stumbling block into the declaration. And what we need to do as people, no one in mind, except maybe myself, get rid of all the stumbling blocks. Best way I know to get rid of a stumbling block is say, there's a stumbling block. Sometimes we don't want to say, there's a stumbling block, but declare to ourselves, here's something about me that is causing the message and the declaration of God, the glory of it, to be hindered. I would encourage us. You and me might know God from the youngest to the oldest. We don't have to stand in the power of the preacher or the presbytery. We don't have to stand in the power of, quote unquote, the church. And I'm not casting down on any of them. Please understand that. They're vital and they're part of the doctrine, part of the Bible. But every one of us, he said, can know the Lord for ourselves. You know what's good about that? A lot of things. You know one of the good things about it is, though, then we can minister to each other. Then I can know what you know, and you can know what I know. Because I guarantee you, if that's a proper word to use in the message, if we wrote everything we know about God, full of the Holy Ghost, and wrote everything we knew about God, there'd be things you have found out about God through the Holy Ghost that I don't know yet. And vice versa. There's things God has taught you and experiences that I have not even thought of. We can all know Him. We can all know Him from the least to the greatest, whatever He may have had in mind when He said that. So tonight, God has declared himself. And remember what he said. The Spirit, God himself, wants to show us the deep things of God. Don't be settled down tonight. I find for myself the word disappointment comes into play when I think about wasted time. Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, said, the time should be that you should be teachers, but you have need that someone teach you. What are even the first oracles? You know, if you get in that place, you can be kind of despondent and think, you know, well, I've wasted all this time. Is it even why try now? I believe the Hebrew writer said to strengthen, what was it? The feeble knees, the hands that hang down. There comes a time when we say, yep, I should have known more. And I was lazy, or I was slack, or I was whatever. There again, point your finger at it and say, yep, that really happened. But now, forgetting those things that are past, I press toward the mark, the prize, for the high calling. Folks, don't just press toward heaven. Maybe that's what Paul was talking about, or even martyrdom. Maybe he was talking about that. But press towards knowing God. Because in knowing God, that's going to help you press to the goal of eternal life. To the goal of being with Jesus through eternity. So thank the Lord tonight. I just felt in my soul the last few days so happy. And I know you can think of more, and there are more ways that God declares Himself. But I am so glad that God has declared Himself to mankind.